Now start our post-race press conference with our winning crew chief of the number 11, Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, and that's Chris Gabehart. Chris, maybe just give us an opening statement about your view atop the box and winning one of NASCAR's crown jewel Bristol Night races. You just mentioned that.
Yeah, no secret. My favorite race. I'll go ahead and say it. What a fantastic atmosphere. Just electric. Represents everything that is quintessential stock car racing. Short track, high bank, action everywhere. I say it all the time. The reason I love this track so much is it shows you just how hard it is to drive these race cars. It's amazing to watch these guys do what they do. My favorite track, won our second Bristol Night race. Super pumped and really proud of this team, no doubt.
Thank you, Chris. If you have a question.
Lee Spencer, Catch Friends. Despite as good as your car was, with Larson's in the rearview mirror, you have to be a little bit concerned.
Yeah. I've told all of you how I feel about Larson and his talent. And if he has a sniff of it at any point, you saw it fairly late in the race, right? We had such a lead that we kind of got a little conservative behind the 8 and some other car there and just kind of nowhere to go for a little bit. And here comes Larson like a prize fighter off the mat. I mean, he's right back on our bumper, giving us all we want one more time. And him, that team, that whole group, what a class act. We've had our run-ins lately, but, you know, when you're two teams that consistently find yourself up front and you race with a lot of passion and to win like that group does, you're going to have that. And that's why we all show up to watch these races, right? So I think the world of Kyle Larson and his team, and I'm just glad we were able to beat him today.
What about Bob?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I know there's several others, but it seems like both you and Larson are the kind of teams week in and week out. So what will you have to do to beat them for the championship?
Just keep doing what we've been doing. I mean, you know, obviously the first round is full of really good tracks for Denny and this team, but clearly we were capable of winning all three races and just had situations keep us to only winning one. You know, Texas, we tested there, should have a great race, but you just got to keep executing. That's all you can do is move on to the next race. Tonight we're going to enjoy this one. It's a big one. You know, we've had a tough couple of weeks mentally with the team to perform at such a high level and not get the wins. But I told them in our meeting today, and nights like tonight, it's so easy to do, but you just got to keep competing at a high level for the love of the game. It can't be about results. To put in the passion that it takes to perform at this high level, you have to do it for the love of the game. And the team that I'm with, I'm just so thankful to stand on their shoulders because they are giants, Denny included. And we just got to keep executing at that level, and we'll find ourselves in Phoenix with a shot to get it done.
Obviously, we're now joined also by Coach Joe Gibbs, the owner of Joe Gibbs.
Colt Cusimano with the Arizona Republic. I got one for each of you guys. First, for Chris, congratulations. You mentioned how challenging this track is for the drivers, but I'm curious, how challenging is it for you as a crew chief, and what are some obstacles that you have to go through to overcome and win this race?
Yeah, great question. Again, quintessential stock car racing. This place is, there's no loads higher than here. So when you talk engineering and the stress and the strain that it puts on the tires, you know, the steering components, you know, we were here last year. We had tire failures and steering component failures. I don't think there was a single one in the field this year. So some of the very brightest minds in the sport, like Goodyear and NASCAR and all the race teams, figuring out how to handle this place. But it is a monster. There is nothing like it other than maybe miles up there in Dover, since I say the words monster. But truthfully, there is this place from a physics perspective and getting into all the nitty-gritty details that my team has to do. There's just simply nothing else to look at. This is the one.
And then for Coach, congratulations. Just want to get your thoughts on Ty's run tonight.
Yeah, just really, really proud of Ty. I think he was in the middle of the race there. He really felt good. He was really fast. And so we just appreciate the fact that he understands this. You got to earn your way. And so he's got to keep fighting, and we'll just see, because you can't – there's no way to talk your way or buy your way. You got to race your way. And so we're proud of what he's done so far. Just – I want to say just proud of our teams. And Chris and Denny, I mean, that car has been really, really as good as any three races we've had. Just really appreciate that, and the fact that we got to win tonight. Appreciate Martin from a standpoint. Couldn't have had two worse races, and you wouldn't dream that, you know, what could happen to you like that. But it shows you how hard our sport is. And also, you know, I felt like Christopher was really fast tonight too. So it was a thrill for us. You worked so hard. As Chris said, there's so much can happen. We love coming here. This is one of the real showcase places for our sport. And just we appreciate being a part of it. We appreciate a win like tonight.
Any other questions for Coach or Chris? Go back up here to Bob.
Bob Harkris, Fox Sports. For Coach, were you a little bit flabbergasted after the first 2 weeks that Martin could, like, why are you thinking about Martin potentially missing after winning the regular season?
I think everybody all week talked about it and said you couldn't turn on Sirius Radio or anything without people saying this could be the first, you know, and it just shows you what can happen in our sport and how hard it is. You know, we probably made some mistakes at Darlington, which is one of his best racetracks, and hit the wall there and probably should have taken a different approach on it. And James was certainly upset about all that. And then to come back and puncture a tire like that, I've never had that happen. You know, puncture a tire probably sometime on just warming up for the race, coming on pit road for checking everything on pit road. It never happened to us before. And so we were in a real hole. And so just appreciate those guys the way they fought tonight.
Lee Spencer, Catch Friends. Coach, can you just talk about Ty tonight? You know, how he kept just going along, had a solid finish, and, you know, morale builder.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just building steps, you know, taking a step. I think this is the most laps he's led. And so it's just kind of one step after another for a young guy. I think the only young guy that came into our sport and just killed it right off the bat is sitting next to me. It's the only one we've had, I think. So it's hard work. Ty's going to have to earn his way. And I think tonight was a really big step for him.
Zach Sterniel at NASCAR.com. Coach, I'm curious. Sorry, on your left. Yeah. I'm curious from the ownership perspective, having all three cars advance to the round of 12. How significant is that for the organization? Certainly, the level of performance is there, where I'm sure there's a level of expectation to get to this point, but to execute it, especially understanding that Martin entered beneath that elimination line. How significant is that for the organization?
Yeah, it means so much. This is our playoff. The way it's designed is so tough. You know, to get from one round to the next. And it means so much for us, you just mentioned that, but it's Toyota. It's our sponsors. And our sport, obviously, it's, you know, you got FedEx on Denny's car. You got Interstate Batteries. You got Bass Pro. Johnny, call me from the wilderness someplace. And it just means a lot to our sponsors and to our manufacturer. Is just all the way across the board. So to have three cars advance is really a big deal for us.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for Chris and Denny. When you struggle to get out of a round, you have everything go wrong, and yet you still advance. Does it give you like some kind of confidence? Does this kind of allow you to kind of reset and say, listen, the bottom fell out and we still moved on and just kind of forget about it?
Yeah. So when someone asked Coach what it meant to let the ninth, you know, kind of the 19 to advance after everything they fought.
I think he's writing a story about Martin Truex.
What I was thinking was, that's okay. Let him write. I'm going to give him something to write about.
Yeah.
What I was thinking was they're going to be tough to beat. I know what they have. I know what their resources are. I work very closely with them. If you get down once, shame on the situation. Get down twice, shame on them. They aren't going to get down twice. They're going to be tough to beat. So I'm ready for the challenge, but I will guarantee you they will bounce back stronger in round two.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they got through because of the hard work they put in the regular season. They get rewarded for it, as they should. It buys you some insurance, right? You know, I don't think anyone, or certainly they probably didn't plan on having the finishes they did. Some of it was unfortunate circumstances, and some of them you just, didn't hit it that day, right? But they earned that position to live another day, and they're good enough that, I mean, there's not one week that you go to, and just because of this little three-race stretch, that ain't nobody sleeping on them, that's for sure.
The label means nothing, but do you guys consider yourselves the championship favorites?
I mean, I don't think I've been any better. I don't think our team's been any better. So, at our best, I know that we're good enough.
Yeah, I mean, championship favorite is a term that I think loses its meaning. I think certainly we're a final round favorite. And then you get to Phoenix, and it's one race. But, yeah, we're executing at a super high level. We have all the pieces put together to do it. So, certainly, why not us?
Thank you. Adam Cheek, franchise.com. Coach, what does it mean to win at Bristol so much on your left? 15 wins there in the last 14 years. What does it mean to win there so much and have that level of excellence at a track like this?
I think for our whole sport, if you ask fans – all across the country, NASCAR fans, they're going to rate this place as one of the absolute favorites, the place where they like to come. I remember all the way back to Dale Jarrett. I asked him, what racetrack do you like the best? And he said, Bristol. The sense of speed, and I think it's really hard. It's hard on machine and driver. And for Denny to be as good as he is here, I think it says a lot for the talent of a driver to be able to come to Bristol. So we just think it's a special place. And so really appreciate something like tonight where we do run good.
I mean, you guys could have swept this whole round, so you're on it, but how do you keep that up at this point going forward?
I mean, no race owes you a thing. This sport owes you nothing. In fact, it will take from you far more than it gives to you. We had to talk about that today. So you just have to do it for the love of the game and show up every week as prepared as you can show up and thankful that you get to play a game for a living at the sport's top level and you have all the pieces that it takes to achieve greatness. And whether you get it or not, that in the grand scheme of things isn't necessarily what it's all about. And we're going to keep taking that approach. It's been working well for us and see how it goes. I think we definitely have all that it takes to do it.
Zach.
Zach Sternhill, NASCAR.com. Denny, Bubba entered knowing that Bubba was 19 points out. He points his way into this next round on merit, this especially after crashing at Kansas. This could have been a really heavy weight for him. To see him overcome that, how significant is that for you as the car owner to have seen his growth to this point?
Yeah, I'm really happy with, where that team is progressing to and, really happy for Bubba. I don't think he's the highest he's ever finished is 20-something in points. So he's doing well. He's really working on his craft, and he's doing all the right things, and he's, studying the right things, and he's really working with the team well. Him and Tyler are working really well together. I'm very happy with the trajectory that whole organization's on. I mean, that's just, you know, not 3 years complete, you know, to have two cars now in the round of 12s, you know, very, very humbling. And certainly, you know, our goal going into the year was to have two cars in the playoffs, and now to have two in the next round, you know, it's, you know, we're, this is just icing on the cake. They keep, this is nothing but bonus from here on out.
Is there any more questions for Chris Gabehart? We'll go to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, I don't recall hearing you talk about For Love of the Game as much as you have tonight. And I'm curious, is that something you've always had, maybe I've just missed, or is that a new idea, philosophy? Obviously, with this team, every year you guys are so strong. We talk about how strong you guys are, and then, you know, what happens, happens. So is that more of a philosophy or way to – the mantra for the team this year, in a sense?
It's just a reminder for myself. Listen, there's no way you can perform at this level as well as this team does and not love the game. I mean, it's impossible. You cannot put in the amount of effort that it takes to compete at this level without an extreme amount of passion for what you do. It's impossible. But I think sometimes we let the numbers and the Kansas wins that slip away and the Darlington wins that slip away, and, you know, you lose the pole by 8/1000ths of a second. You get caught up in the numbers. You get caught up in the details. And the details and the love for the pursuit of perfection is what brings you to the opportunities to win. They do not guarantee it. And, again, they will take it from you. This sport will take it from you more than it gives it to you. But I think it's just important to keep focus on how lucky we are to do what we do. And even on your worst days, things won't be that bad. And I just think that's an important message for everybody, not just our team, but it's certainly a great spot to be in, and I don't take it lightly.
And for you and Denny, you referenced Kansas, but you both talked about how last week was 60 and how many of those opportunities you had to won. And
20
I think,
of 61 now.
But see, you always hear that. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't say the negative aspect, because that's the thing that gets stuck in your head. And that's, you know, if I'm the crew chief, I say don't go long on the box, then that's the last thing you hear. So if you guys are focusing on the races that you lose, are you not doing more damage to yourself? And like I said, that's why I was kind of intrigued about this For the Love of the Game, because you guys talk about how much you've lost all these races.
Yeah, but from my standpoint, it's like, since we've been together, to have 61 opportunities to win, like, that just shows that what we have is pretty special. And yeah, it is. And but it also shows you that, you know, how unpredictable the sport can be, right? I mean, how much of a team aspect. You know, I've said this a billion times. Other sports, your competitors make a mistake, boom, you pounce, you capitalize. In our sport, Chris Buescher blows a tire and it caused us a win. So it's like, it happens in our sports. You're not going to win 100% of the time that you've got the best car or a car capable of winning. You know, we're on a 30% clip right now. It's okay. I mean, it's really hard, really, in the next gen era more than ever. I think with the Gen 6 car, your win rate should be probably a little higher than that. Everyone's so close nowadays, track positions, everything, restarts, blah, blah, blah. 30%'s not terrible. It isn't. You know, we definitely can get caught up, and, man, we should have had that one, should have had that one. But we keep showing up like we're doing. These nights happen because we just keep showing up. We keep giving ourselves more opportunities. And if over the next 7 weeks – he gives me a car rated number one all 7 weeks. By the numbers, we should win 2.5 of them, right? So we're still in a really good position. And, you know, certainly I don't take for granted that, we put in a lot of work to do this. This doesn't, as Chris says, doesn't happen by accident, right? We're clearly doing something right. And, you know, but at times you do have to remind yourself that, you know, it is a game. We get to do what we love. And, you know, I still love it as much as I ever have. I do. Just, and a lot of it is because I show up every week knowing I can win. there's been many years that that's just not been the case, but you know, there's just something special about, you know, this year and really the last four or five that's just been a lot of fun from my standpoint.
Chris, thank you for your time. We'll let you get back to tech. Any other questions for Coach? And Coach, we'll let you go as well. Thank you so much.
Okay, let me mention one thing. I always think about our people back, the 450 people at work there. I wish they could be here. I'm glad that we get to hang a banner where I get a chance to thank them. But JD was always focused on everything that happened with our race team. He related it back to those people and the obligation that we have to take care of them. So I just really appreciate them and the fact that we can live in a country where we can race cars and do this, have the fun that we have, and provide a place where people can maybe stay for their entire career. I just want to emphasize that, how fortunate we are. Most people around the world don't even have enough to eat, and we get a chance to do this. So, and JD was always focused on that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're going to Michael, then Bob, then Cole.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. Denny, you talk about the you know, the march for 60 wins as a goal of yours. And you get 51 here. You're now 13th all-time, but you break the tie with Junior Johnson. So now you're the most all-time without that title. Obviously, you want to change that in 7 weeks, I'm guessing, to not have that title anymore. But how does that feel in this moment to be the best, you know, the winningest with you know, without the title?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of great opportunities. You know, this day and this era of NASCAR racing, it's tougher to win than it's ever been. There's more cars capable of winning. You know, we all run the same parts and pieces nowadays, so finding an edge is so difficult. We all share each other's data, so there is no secrets for drivers anymore. Like, it's just to find edges, it's really, really difficult. So for me, I feel very blessed and, you know, honored to have the amount of wins that we've had in this era of NASCAR racing. You know, I've been blessed to be with Joe Gibbs. Honestly, you know, that you know, I didn't have to go with an up-and-coming team. I went straight to Cup in a race-winning car. I wasn't race-winning it when I got in it, but it, you know, the team was, right? So I never really had to cut my teeth for years with a lesser organization. So that's carried me. JGR's team, the 450 people we talked about, the shop, built me the fastest cars for decades, and then now, you know, we're racing NASCAR's car and still being successful, right? So it's really cool to win on all kinds of different tracks with different cars with different tires with all this different stuff, and we're still find a way to adapt and win. So certainly, you know, it's nights like tonight are certainly pleasing after having a couple weeks of like, darn, we should have got them, right? Keep knocking on the door, keep showing up, keep making it to the Final Four. Eventually, your number will be called, and hopefully, you know, this is the year for it to be called.
Bob
Packer, Fox Sports. I had a couple. The first, I mean, it looks like it could come down to you and Larson. You guys are both the most consistent, it seems like, with speed. What are you going to have to do to beat him over the next 7 weeks?
Well, I'm not looking to beat him over the next 7 weeks. I'm just looking to try to get there, trying to get to Phoenix. You know, once we get there, then I'll focus on what it will take to be the best that day. It's not him. It's us, right? We know week in, week out, if we are at our best, we can't be beat. I just don't think so. But, you know, you just never know. You just never know. But the process, I don't want to keep skipping ahead of the next round and the next round. I can't, there's no way I can focus on Phoenix right now because there's too many unknowns between now and then. But certainly this year is different. And, you know, I told you guys before the playoffs started, you know, this year just feels different with the capabilities of our team and the speed we're showing. So you know, we've raced head to head the last 3 weeks, right? And it's been kind of 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. So we don't, anything can happen. And certainly he's not looking at me over the next 6 weeks, and there's no way I can look at him. We just have to figure out how we're going to get there with a shot.
And was there ever a point, was there a point that you decided, okay, I'm going to just play to the crowd and play to the hate and just taunt every time you win?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, yeah, I got to realize 18 years in that I'm probably not going to win the most popular driver award. I've come to the conclusion of that. I understand it. But yeah, it's clearly, they think they bother me, but clearly it's having an opposite effect. So I welcome any fan to want to come to the dark side. All five of my fans are still out there chanting my name. They're over in turn three right now. But yeah, it's, as Cat Williams said, a hater can't stand a winner.
Cool.
Thank you. Denny, Cole Cusimano with the Arizona Republic. First off, congratulations. How did it feel to win the Bristol night race with MJ in attendance? And did you talk with him after the race?
I have not, no. It was a big weekend for the 45 car and with Jay Balvin in on the car and that collab. So I was, you know, I was being a fanboy in the middle of practice. I'm taking pictures of Tyler Reddick's suit, you know, texting the guys to make sure I get that suit after this weekend. So, like, it's really cool, the kind of the crossover stuff they're doing. But, I'm jealous at times of the paint schemes, jealous of the MJ stuff that Tyler gets to run. But, we're still partners, and Michael, you know, views us winning just like he does our race team. So he says every weekend he's got three chances to win, and so this one he won.
And what are you doing with that sword?
I'm fighting off all the haters. Just I'm all nice. Jam them in the gut. They come close for me.
Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Danny, you've said it a few times now, and you have tonight, which is this year feels different. If you keep knocking, eventually the door is going to open up. How exhausting is it, though, at this point to keep trying to do this year after year and go through this process and just not be worn down by the fight to just get to that winner-take-all race?
It's a grind, for sure. But he said it, right? You have to love the game. You know, I still love it, right? I very well could get knocked out next round or next round, and then this year is up. Oh, we failed again, but I still love it. I love the process it takes to come to the racetrack and be fastest in practice and fastest in qualifying and win the race. Like, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of dedication. And usually at this point of probably drivers' careers, they start not loving it as much because you just got so much other stuff going on. But I'm a competitor and I love competing. And, you know, at 42, I love this sport as much as I ever have and what it takes to find an edge, right? It used to be back in the day, Joe would just build me a faster car than everyone else. You know, we come up with a new trick chassis and we just smoke everyone. I didn't have to put in a whole lot of work. You know, you just kind of rely on the fast car. Now, with everything common, the driver's the number one X factor in your performance week in, week out. That is a fact. So it's on my shoulders to find the edges, find the gray areas of where can I get better? Where's my deficits? And I enjoy that process.
So the joy and the your love of competition in the when it gets to the playoffs, how different is the satisfaction or the feeling of winning a race in the playoffs versus the first 26?
Yeah, it's different for sure. This is different than if we would have won Darlington, right? You know, because even after Darlington, now you still got work to do in this round where, you know, I think a couple years ago we won the first race in the first two rounds. And so we had four races where we were kind of, all right, well, let's just move on and work on the next tracks in the next round. But right now we're in the grind of, okay, well, we're week to week because, you know, up until this week where we felt pretty locked in. But yeah, it is different. Winning in the playoffs is different because you know that everyone is, all the drivers are as focused as they've ever been. The teams are bringing the best, you know, they're putting as much time as they've ever put in all season long. And, you know, when you can get the best of them, you know you did your job that week.
Question in the press box. Until we have a question in the press box, Chris Knight.
Hold on. ChrisKnightCatchFence.com. Denny, tonight you led over 14,000 laps in your NASCAR Cup Series career. I think that's put you in the top 12 of all drivers in the sport overall. What kind of accolade is that for your career, and is that important to you?
Yes. I mean, Chris says we can't get too caught up in the numbers, but it's a lot of laps. So it's crazy. Time has just flown by, but 14,000 laps, that's crazy. And, I've never been a leading laps type of guy. I typically manage races, and I manage it to get to the end, right? I don't really care about leading the first lap and leading all the stages. Typically my style is not going to lead to leading a lot of laps. It's more race management to figure out what I need to do to win the race at the very end. So it's a great accomplishment. I'm blessed to be with the team that I'm with and the manufacturer I'm with. That's what's got that for me.
And your outlook on Texas Motor Speedway next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we already started working on it. We were there. We did the test with Goodyear, myself, Logano, and I think Suarez. You know, I feel pretty good about it. I feel like that tire is very, very different, and I think it probably could catch a few teams off guard and not be what they expected, because it is very different. But we at least kind of have a baseline of what that is, and we're going to start to work on it to try to put the fast car on the track next week too. So I feel like we're in as good a spot as anyone going into next week.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. So, last year you were talking about how you like to thrive on chaos. This year you said with the two 23-11 cars in the playoffs, your focus was going to shift a little bit from being team owner / driver to pretty much just driver. Mm-hmm. With both your cars now on to the next round and you now having three races under your belt with that whole new situation, how do you feel like you're handling everything as driver Denny versus owner Denny?
It's been fun. I mean, the last few weeks, I've honestly, there's more to it than that too. Like any personal service deals that I have, sponsor obligations, my team always front loads all that stuff before the playoffs. That way, get all my obligations done. That way I have more time these last 10 races, to focus on the small details that you don't always look at during the regular season. It just, fine-tuning, right? It's just more time to massage your craft or the car or information you have with your team. So for me to kind of put 23-11 a little bit on the back burner here the last 10, it's been awesome. I've actually had a few afternoons where I was able to sit down and not do anything, which is fabulous. So it's been refreshing for sure. I've had more time to hang out with friends and play golf if I want to, or basketball leagues started back up. My team's undefeated there. We're on a roll. So I'm having fun right now. I really am. So it's, there's a lot of stress with the ownership side for sure. And, we're working on a lot of different things. And sometimes it can kind of scatter your brain in a ton of different ways. But, it certainly helps me sleep better because I'm not, my mind's not in a creative mode or thinking mode right before bed. There's a lot of benefits, and obviously on track's been really good the last 3 weeks.
Beth?
Denny, Setegger, kicking tires. You mentioned the cool factor as far as the collaborations with J Balvin and MJ. How much of a morale and motivation boost can that be for 23-11?
It's good. I mean, those guys know what they're representing. It's a big brand that they're representing, and, to see seven or eight of J Balvin's crew here, seven or eight from Jordan Brand here, that don't always go to races. That's big, right? And that's why Michael came into the sport, is to, open up his platform to an audience that probably not as familiar. So, you know, I think that they understand what they're representing. That team works really, really close together. Certainly, it's a lot different than a lot of teams that are out there. And, you know, certainly when you have, you know, these type of collabs, you know, the biggest hurdle for me is getting everyone's shoe order to their deliver to their house on time.
Lee Spencer, Catch Fence. Since Chris joined you guys in 2019, and I remember what a gut punch it was at Homestead because you were like lights out, and then you guys made that arrow change by putting tape on the grill, and it was just like devastating. But I'm wondering, from that low moment to now, what has been the biggest gains that you guys have made as partners and as a team?
You know, we really haven't changed that much from like year one to now, because it's been, we've realized as long as we keep trusting each other, things are good. Like when I have concerns, I'm not afraid to reach out to him and express those, right? Because a crew chief and a driver's, you know, it's like a marriage. Well, I guess I wouldn't know anything about that, but it's, you know, I guess you're supposed to listen to the other person and, you know, be empathetic and all that other stuff. That's what I heard. So I feel like, you know, I can't be afraid to say, hey, I have concerns about this. And he can't be defensive when I have those concerns. And then when he tells me, you knucklehead, you shouldn't be doing this, you should be doing that, I understand it comes from a place of him wanting me to get better, right? And it's very easy if you're a veteran of the team to say, well, this is the way I've always been doing it. And sorry, like, you know, if you just make the car drive like I want it to drive, we'll win every week. Well, his job is to say, well, perhaps you should adjust as well. And that's what makes this relationship really work well, is that we trust each other and we're pushing each other to be better. And so I think that that's really special in our series, and you don't get it often.
And I lied. We'll take one more and we'll wrap up with Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, obviously none of us have ever been in this situation, so I don't know if you can describe it to us, but like, what's it like to stand in the middle of like this massive arena, all the attention and the energy is like directed onto you, and you're like addressing all these people, like you have the floor for a moment. Like what does that feel like?
Yeah, it's why I love this track, right? I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's cheers or boos, like it's, you know, you've earned the right to be on that stage for that given moment, for that interview or whatever it might be. So it's gratifying. I mean, I'm a person that you know, feeds off of that, because, you know, I know that my hard work has paid off, right? And, you know, it's tough. It is like Dion says it, like, what, you know, what about in me thinks I care about what you think about me? Cause it's not the same opinion I have of myself. Right. So I know who I am. I know, you know, how I treat people, and, it's okay, right? It's okay to have fandom one way or another, but, you know, to have just electricity, that's fun. This is a really fun moment in sports, and it's really fun in NASCAR to have that many fans passionate one way or another, right? That's good for our sport.
Okay, Denny, congratulations. Thanks for all the time, and all good right. Luck next week at Texas.
Everybody talk shit. Come, bring it.